Well, there's dissent within federal government ranks today about the three Chinese warships which left Sydney Harbour this morning after a four-night stay. Coalition Senator Concetta Fierravanti-Wells, the former Minister for International Development and the Pacific, says Australia has lost the psychological battle with China. She says allowing the three warships to dock this week, coinciding with the 30th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre, was an act of appeasement by Australia. However, the Prime Minister Scott Morrison has said any speculation over the timing of the visit is simply over-analysing. The opposition leader Anthony Albanese, meanwhile, wants to know why more notice wasn't given of the ship's arrival.
Be reasonable that there be public notification of the visit of any vessels into Sydney Harbour. I think that is normal process quite often. And the fact that the New South Wales government of Gladys Berejiklian apparently weren't informed, I think requires some further explanation of just why it is that that didn't happen.
The warship's visit also coincided with Prime Minister Scott Morrison's trip to the Solomon Islands, just as that nation finds itself embroiled in a debate about switching diplomatic allegiance from Taiwan to China. For more on China's continued struggle with Taiwan and Chinese presence in the Pacific, I spoke to Bonnie Glazer, the director of the China Power Project at the US-based Center for Strategic and International Studies.
I think that port calls by Chinese ships are planned many, many months in advance. They're usually part of an annual plan. So I assume that the Australian government knew well in advance. I don't think the Chinese just show up when they want to. But it is important that the Chinese are emphasizing military diplomacy. They do send their navy all over the world to conduct port calls. It is part of developing relations with other militaries, showing the flag. They do want other countries to see their increasingly powerful navy. That does send a signal that China has interests and it wants to have influence.
In recent days, we have had the Shangri-La dialogue. And out of the Shangri-La dialogue, the US delivered a report in which, for the first time, they called Taiwan a country. Can you tell me how significant is that?
Well, I think it's quite significant that the United States is including Taiwan in its free and open Indo-Pacific strategy to begin with, and then in this report has listed Taiwan in a grouping of countries that includes Singapore, Mongolia, and New Zealand. And it's signaling that Taiwan is part of the region, part of the life in the region, and a defense partner for the United States. And on top of that is, in fact, a country. And prior U.S. governments have been very careful to not use the term country. Sometimes Taiwan is referred to just as a partner and maybe a very, of course, a valued partner, sometimes just an island. But most U.S. officials and government documents in particular refrain from calling Taiwan a country. But I think that this reflects support in the Trump administration for a closer relationship with Taiwan. It also reflects a pushback against Beijing's growing military and diplomatic pressure on Taiwan. And there is a strong belief that Taiwan's autonomy is under threat, maybe even the ability to hold free and fair elections because of Chinese interference in Taiwan. So there is really much more support for Taiwan. And I think calling Taiwan a country is part of that.
What do you think the Chinese response will be?
Well, the Chinese usually do not punish the United States when they are unhappy about developments in U.S.-Taiwan relations. They punished Taiwan. And indeed, we saw, for example, on March 31st, two Chinese J-11 fighter jets flew across the center line of the strait, a very deep incursion about 43 kilometers into that airspace, something they had not done in 20 years. So the Chinese, I think, will find a way to punish Taiwan. They could take more of Taiwan's diplomatic allies. Taiwan is now down to 17. 2019, and it could be the Solomon Islands, which has been discussed in the press, or it might be a country in Latin America. There's been concern about many countries where I think the Chinese are putting pressure on these diplomatic partners of Taiwan to switch their diplomatic allegiance.
Do you think it's a question of when, not if, Taiwan loses another diplomatic ally to China?
I think so. I believe that the Chinese think that this is a lever that they have over Taiwan. For the first time ever, there is now discussion about whether it would be very significant if Taiwan lost all of its diplomatic allies. And it does have significance because Taiwan has a claim to sovereignty, and a country that has diplomatic partners, that lends credence to that sovereignty claim. If they lose all of those partners, then that claim is less convincing legally.
And Taiwan has, of course, indicated publicly that it will be buying 100 tanks from the US. But you understand there's also a sale of fighter jets, which is in the works. Can you tell me about that?
Well, Taiwan has wanted to replace some of its old planes that it has and would like to buy more advanced equipment. So I think that there has now been a decision in Taiwan to ask for F-16Vs. These are very complementary with the existing F-16 fighters that Taiwan already has, so they have maintenance in place. So this makes sense. And I think that Taiwan probably will purchase a squadron of, it would be 66 F-16Vs. So my expectation is that will happen later this year as well.
Bonnie Glaser, the director of the China Power Project at the US-based Center for Strategic and International Studies.